trying to not run into people. You have that awkward hallway moment where someone's coming and you dodge, but they dodge this way, and you get closer, right? And so the whole time is spent sort of avoiding people. Even when you're sitting down in these seats, you're trying to, okay, do I get the elbow? You're trying not to touch elbows with these people. And you're trying to avoid them the whole time, except for one moment. And things can change in an instant. And it's amazing how all of this can change in an instant, because when the Oilers score, when the lamp turns red, everything changes. All of a sudden, everybody is the closest of friends. All of a sudden, everybody stands up, they're clapping, they're high-fiving the people next to them that they wouldn't want to touch their elbows with, right? Just moments before. Everybody's the best. People are clapping each other on the back, and you have this sudden change. And why is that change? I remember sitting there and just reflecting about why that sudden change? What's going on? Well, this celebration reveals what most everybody in the arena values. It's a common value, and that is that the Oilers scored a goal. The Oilers winning, that was this common value, and there was a celebration that came from that. Everybody, doesn't matter what their previous feelings were, that common value was brought together when they celebrated that event. Now, you may not be an Oilers fan, and that's fine, but the truth remains the same. What we celebrate is what we value. What we celebrate is what we value. What we take time to cheer about, what we take time to high-five people about, what we take pictures of, is what we value. So based on your celebrations, what is it that you value? Based on your celebrations throughout the year, what is it that you value? This morning, we'll learn a little bit more about what the Israelites valued by looking at one of their celebrations. In fact, it's a song. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. We'll look at the content of this song. Now, and we'll look at what it is that's making them sing, that's making them celebrate. But we don't have the music for this song. I wish we had. We don't have the melody, but we do have the lyrics. And so that's what we'll look at, is look at the lyrics. And one of you more creative musical talents out there can write the music for this, and we can sing it sometime. But look at chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword, and my right hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone until your people pass by, O Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And God, we ask that you would give us hearts to do what it calls us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. This song is sort of a marker in the book of Exodus. We've been going through the book of Exodus, and this is sort of a marker that closes the first half of the book and begins the second half. And we'll see that as Israel begins to journey out from Egypt. But it's a song about Israel's deliverance from Egypt, specifically through the battle at the Lake of Reeds that we read about in the previous chapter, in chapter 14. Now, it was custom for women to greet and to welcome returning soldiers from battle, victorious from battle, to welcome them with dancing and with singing. We see this later on in Scripture. We see it in 1 Samuel 18 when Saul and David come back, and the women are greeting them with dancing and with singing. But here, we notice that it's both the men and the women who are doing the singing and the dancing. And we have to ask ourselves, well, why is that? And we see that it's because there's only one victorious soldier returning from battle. There's only one warrior who fought for them. And that's why. And that warrior was the Lord. The Lord, he alone, as we saw in chapter 14, he alone defeated the enemy. And so we have this song of victory. It's maybe sung by Moses and the men, and then maybe parts of it are echoed by the women afterwards, as we see in verses 19 and 20. Maybe it's a back and forth sort of echoing, but regardless, it's a song to the Lord. And look again at the beginning of the song in chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name." We notice right off the bat that this is from the perspective of someone who had firsthand experience of what happened. I will sing. I will praise. I will exalt him. This quickly gives way to a focus exclusively on what God has done. We notice that exclusively on what he has done. And what he has done, it says right in that first stanza, he has hurled the horse and its rider into the sea. Both the instrument of warfare, the horse in this case, and the agent of warfare, the rider in this case, both of them have been defeated. This imagery is presenting complete victory. There is nothing that the Israelites have to fear anymore. There's nothing left to threaten them. And then these actions of what God has done, they lead the singers to declare who God is. And that is a warrior. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Here we have Yahweh, God, as a warrior God who has fought to save his people. Who has fought to save his people. This is a realization of what we studied in chapter 14, verse 14, that the Lord will fight for you. Moses, when he says, he reprimands the people and he says, the Lord will fight for you. He will bring victory. This is who God is. He is a warrior. And the following verses poetically describe how this warrior God defeated the enemy at the sea. They're not so much celebrating and finding joy in the demise of the Egyptian army, but more in the sovereign justice of God. In his sovereign justice. See, the Egyptians, as we read, they boasted in overtaking the Israelites, in drawing their swords against them, in destroying them, but the Lord brought justice upon them. Nothing can stop his justice from occurring. Look at verse 11. "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you in majestic holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them." You know, our society preaches of the need for peace or of justice, preaches of the need for justice, of holding people accountable, whether it's politicians, celebrities, companies, even countries. It preaches of the need for justice in those cases. But, and here's where our need remains unsatisfied. Humanly speaking, we are unable, we lack the power to bring about complete justice, to bring about total justice, to bring about salvation from oppression. So what we do instead as a culture is we imagine superheroes who can maybe do that. We imagine in our movies, we present what it might be like if there was someone who could bring justice, if only. But this is what our song celebrates, that there is a God who is powerful enough to bring about justice, to right every wrong, to bring salvation to his people. And we find a warrior God who has fought to save his people. But that's not all that this song celebrates, is it? His saving power in the past, we see that. But we also see what he will do in the future. Look at verse 13. Verse 13, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone. Until your people pass by, O Lord, until the people you bought pass by, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands have established. You see, this song not only celebrates God saving Israel, but him leading them, that he will lead Israel as well. And how will God lead him? It's really important. At the beginning of verse 13, how God leads them. It says, in his unfailing love, in his hesed is the Hebrew word, in his covenant love, God will lead his people. And where will God lead them? Where will he lead this people that he has redeemed, that he has bought? Well, it says to his holy dwelling, to his holy dwelling. Now, this could be most immediately maybe Mount Sinai. But eventually in the land of Canaan, it could be Shiloh where God sets up. It could also be in Jerusalem. It could be all three of those. But ultimately we see that the people are celebrating that Yahweh, their God, is not only a warrior God, but he is also a shepherding God who will lead his people to dwell with him. That's the goal. The Israelites can celebrate that God not only defeated the Egyptians, not only defeated the masters of their bondage and their slavery in Egypt, but he also will lead them to the promised land. He will lead them to the promised land, ultimately into his presence. And even the nations that stand in their way will be terrified because of him. But notice how the song not only celebrates what the Lord has done in the past, but what the Lord will do in the future. There is faith in God being a loving shepherd, one who will lead them to dwell with him. Sometimes I think we can wonder if there's an end game in all of this. When we're caught up in the regular activities of everyday life, the repetition, daily activities, the responsibilities that happen day in and day out, we can begin to wonder about the point of it all. Where is it all heading? What am I doing in all of this? What am I doing this for, God? What's coming down the pipe? Well, this is where it's headed. Ever since sin separated us from God back in the garden, our redemption has the purpose of reuniting us back with him, of dwelling with him on earth, of being in his presence. That's the goal, and that's where it's all headed. And we have that beautifully portrayed in this song. That's where it's all headed for those who trust in him. So we have a celebration of God as a warrior, but we also have a celebration of God as a shepherd. And then we have that closing verse of the song in verse 18. If you look at verse 18, the Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will reign forever and ever. This is the King God who rules creation forever, forever. The Israelites can celebrate that there's no other king like him, that his reign will never end. And therefore, songs like this will never cease to be appropriate. They will always be appropriate because they praise him. There'll be no changes in rule down the line. There's going to be no elections. There's going to be no coming transfer of leadership which could disrupt the peace of the kingdom. None of that will exist. The Lord will reign forever and ever. It's interesting, we have the song open with a victorious Lord, and it ends with his everlasting reign. Note again that this song is all about God. It's all about God and what he has done, namely who he is and what he's done. And it's a song that looks back in gratitude and thanksgiving, and it looks forward in hope, what we celebrate this morning. The Israelites' past and their future has been and will be shaped by God's actions on their behalf. And they recognize that in this song. And because of that, this song points to the Israelites' dependence on God, their trust in him, their faith in him, as they look at the past and as they anticipate the future. Finally, it's a song that welcomes its readers to join in the celebration, doesn't it? The celebration of who God is. See, the Lord acted and his people sang. They celebrated. So this morning, I want to encourage us to celebrate God. To celebrate God this morning. We celebrate lots of things. Like I said, we celebrate sports teams. We celebrate good grades. We celebrate weekends. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate anniversaries. We celebrate relationships that we have with one another. And what we celebrate is what we value. So today, let's come together, many of us who would be strangers otherwise. Let's come together and value God. Come together and celebrate God as a warrior who has fought to bring us salvation by his Son. Salvation from sin and death by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, taking our place so that we might satisfy his justice, so that his Son would satisfy his justice. But let's also celebrate God as shepherd, who will ultimately lead us into his presence, who will guide us into his presence, to where he dwells. Jesus himself promised that he's gone ahead to make rooms in his Father's house for us. He's preparing that for us, and his presence is where abundant life is found. Let's celebrate that he would lead us there. And finally, let's celebrate God as an everlasting king, that his reign, that his rule will never end. His kingdom will never fade. We have a couple opportunities this morning to celebrate God as a church. And we're going to celebrate him together this morning to show our value of him by our celebration with one another. But maybe we could take a cue from those in our passage. Maybe we could respond in song this morning. So I'm going to ask you to stand and join with me in singing the closing refrain of How Great is Our God. Would you sing with me? How great is our God.
Sing with me, how great is our God.
Great is our God, name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God, how great is our God.
Father, this morning, we declare your greatness, God. We praise you, God. We thank you for who you are and what you've done, God. This morning, we recognize that there is no one like you, God. There's no one like you, majestic God, in holiness, awesome in glory, and working wonders, God, on our behalf. And this morning, we celebrate who you are and what you've done, God, that you are a warrior, God, who has fought on our behalf to bring us salvation by your Son. We recognize you as a shepherding God who out of his love is leading us to a place where you live, leading us to dwell with you, Father. And we thank you and celebrate that your reign will be forevermore this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.